SBS Radio.
In the first two episodes of Do You Want a Republic, Yes or No? We talked about what form this should take and do we have to amend the Constitution. But should we now review our federal system too? In the previous episode, political scientist Dr. Klaas Wolderink, formerly professor of Southern Cross University and co-founder of Beyond Federation, argued for a change to the Constitution to accommodate a republic. He says we need to consider changing our federal system at the same time.
Yep, there are major problems, and there have been a number of inquiries. The most recent one, the Reform of Federation inquiry. I think that was the fourth one in 20 years. In that 2014 white paper that preceded the inquiry, the question was asked, and I quote, to boldly go where we have thrice gone before, question mark. Already a pessimistic start. Well, the Abbott inquiry was driven by former ALP premiers, remarkably, who had completely abandoned that party's original position on federation, which was to do away with it. The justifications for still more piecemeal tinkering were mind-blowing, really. To think that the huge imbalances in federal-state financial relations can be reversed to a pre-1942 situation is really to ignore history. The state governments themselves actually do not want these powers back, the income tax powers, that is.
Right.
Some of those who want to turn the clock back, mostly academics, strangely enough, under the motto that they want to improve, repair or rescue the Federation, are now also insisting that COAC, that's the Council of Australian Governments, should be written into the Australia's archaic constitution. So the first question, does Australia really need nine governments, nine parliaments, and nine public services to govern just 24 million citizens?
Seems to be over-governed then.
Well, absolutely. We have excellent transport and communication system now, which was a big problem, obviously, in 1901, when Federation united the six British colonies into one colonial federation. We have now 859 politicians, of whom no less than 633 are in the now unnecessary states, and 226 in Canberra. One would think that around 350, maybe 400 in Canberra could do the job, and that the others could do much more useful work than defending the federal structure. Secondly, in answer to your question, piecemeal tinkering with the existing federation cannot make it work. Tried many times, no success. To the small extent that it does work, like, for instance, streamlining services, it makes the federation even more superfluous. It remains a bottleneck that delays costly and is aggravated by the adversarial two-party system. The underlying problems remain, and far too many are employed to keep this going. If anything has to change, it is the federal constitution, which ever since 1901 could hardly be amended. This 1901 Act is in the way of very many desirable, productive changes and should be rewritten, providing also an amendment procedure which allows easy changes when required, which is not the case now, of course, Section 128. Research by Griffith University, the Federal Research Centre there, and also the Beyond Federation Group, regularly shows that most people no longer support the Federation. As Bob Hawke recently stated again at the Woodford Festival, the states should be abolished. They serve no real purpose, as they did in 1901. In short, we need a quite different structure and should be prepared to look at a total package of changes. Piecemeal tinkering, both with the Federation and more generally with the Constitution, has been demonstrably ineffectual over a long period of time. If we know this, you know, why is there no widespread action to generate these necessary drastic changes? Self-interest of state politicians and therefore the major parties are actually in the road of real reform. We need to come to realise this.
So a lot of people have argued against federation because it would lead to centralisation in Canberra. What's your take on that?
Well, the renewal of the Australian Constitution is very essential for many reasons. And one such reason is indeed that we need a much better system of decentralisation and deconcentration of population in our five major cities. the poor use of living space in Australia and the growing traffic congestion in major cities is plainly ridiculous. It has much to do with the concentration of population in those cities and a failure of the states to decentralize. For Sydney to have over 6 million people in 2036 is a monument to that failure, as is, of course, the absolutely parlous state of local government, the Cinderella of the whole system.
A lovely term.
That aspect, the need for effective decentralization, has been accepted as positive by the Turnbull government. Abolishing federation would seem to be the totally logical extensions of that philosophy, but we don't hear that from him. A new productive model would be a two-tier system, national and local government, with mezzanine-type regional councils, representing kindred clusters of local governments. Already, we have several examples of regional organization of councils on a voluntary basis.
You're referring to the amalgamation there.
No. I'm referring to units like, for instance, the Western Sydney Council of Local Government, which is a very effective body. There are actually 64 of them. So this is what constitutional recognition and coordination could do. And for that particular purpose, COAC could actually serve a progressive function rather than a reactionary purpose, which is happening now. So prepare the way for a new unitary constitution. So let us also reflect on the national security angle, something that's a pretty hot potato now.
Yeah.
And this would be quite beyond the concern of border protection. 5 nuclear bombs would wipe out much of the entire population of Australia, some 65 to 70% living in the big cities.
That's a very dark view.
Well, it is a dark view, but I mean, we have North Korea now with missiles that can reach as far as Darwin, apparently.
Mm.
So all those who argue that Federation has served us well and that it is just in need of renovation are really seriously in error. In many ways, Federation has not served Australian well, and even since World War II. That the economy is ticking over in spite of the high cost of Federation, some $50 billion per annum, is due to many other favorable factors, for instance, the existence, obviously, of rich resources, highly motivated migrant workforce, good educational systems, good health provisions, scientific achievements, and sensible multicultural policies.
Given the staggering prices of real estate and the high rents in several cities, how can decentralization be achieved where previous efforts have failed?
Good question. We should reflect much more on the need for decentralization in this huge continent state. We should realize that many of the overwhelming number of states in the world are not federations. They are actually better decentralized than Australia. I make this point because it's endlessly canvassed by people who fear that the centralization of powers, probably a remnant of the Cold War period, the number of states that are federations in the world, or quasi-federations, like, for instance, Canada, is about a dozen, of which some are well-known, like the United States, Germany, and Switzerland. Many federations have actually failed after World War II. All the rest are unitary states, and many with effective provincial and or local governments. Australia can do far more in terms of decentralization when the federal constitution is replaced and local government is promoted as a second tier of government with full local powers and financial support from the central government in Canberra. Decentralization cannot be left to the marketplace alone. Clearly, government, central government, has to support this.
That was political scientist Dr. Klaas Waldering on why, with a population of only 24 million, we might like to think again about the question of a federation and make those changes to the constitution while we need to change it anyway if we have a republic. In the upcoming episode, number 4 of the series on the yes or no vote for a republic, Dr. Klaas Waldering will explain why we need to look at changing our electoral system.
Changing the Australian electoral system of the House of Reps to a multi-party system resulting from multi-member electoral districts that would require parliamentary parties to find a majority representation through coalition government. This is used in 86 countries.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.